This week, a federal judge effectively ended the Biden administration's TSA mask mandate. Airlines and airports around the country lifted mask requirements almost immediately, including Sky Harbor here in Phoenix. But the debate over public health continues. Joining us now is Dr. Saskia Popescu, an infectious disease epidemiologist and senior infection preventionist at the University of Arizona. Good morning, doctor.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on. So I want to begin with just what this might mean. Like, airlines have good air ventilation, they have good filtration systems, and numbers are remaining pretty low for COVID case counts in much of the country. Are you concerned about this?
I am, and there's a couple of reasons why. First and foremost, I think it's important to note that in the last 2 weeks, we've seen a 47% increase in cases across the United States. So we are starting to see an uptick. Hopefully that's not a really big surge, but nonetheless, it's very concerning as we pull back on public health restrictions. We're also, you know, really starting to see that decline in hospitalizations slow. And hospitalizations are a lagging indicator. So as cases increase, we're likely to see the hospitalization piece change. The other piece to this is also, it's not just airplanes that are impacted. It's also trains, buses, and that's particularly worrisome because while airplanes have great ventilation and filtration, those other public transportation systems may not. And even if you have great ventilation in an airplane, which they do, they're really wonderful, that is not a risk eliminator. Mm. It helps reduce the risk. So meaning if I'm on an airplane, I still want to keep in mind that it's, you know, got this great ventilation and filtration, but if I'm unmasked and I'm in a small confined space with dozens or hundreds of other people who are unmasked for a prolonged period of time, I can't ventilate my way out of risk within that close proximity to other people.
Hmm. So one thing I think is worth noting through all of this is that we've now found through research, right, that if someone is wearing their own sort of high quality mask, they can do a pretty good job of protecting themselves in a situation like this, even if the folks around them are not masked.
Definitely. And the nice thing is wearing a nice quality or a high quality mask like in KN95 and N95 or even an FFP2 not only protects you, the wearer, but it also provides what we call source control. So on the off chance you were to have COVID-19, it's also protecting those around you. So overall, wearing that mask provides dual use.
One of the things we've seen on airplanes throughout the pandemic with these mask requirements is pushback, right? Like, a lot of people do not want to do this. There's been a lot of fights over it. How much do you think the mandates were making a difference?
I think they were making a huge difference. And it's hard because, you know, we focus so much on the and really impressive air quality on airplanes. But, you know, in some ways, we've kind of created this over assumption of safety where, you know, we're assuming, oh, that'll take care of it. So I don't need to worry about my mask. But the truth is that the mask plays a really important and vital role. So having that mandate has been really helpful for people who don't necessarily have the same awareness for risk. So now what we're seeing is that it's going to come down to personal choice and a lot of personal risk assessments and tolerance, which is great, except if you're unable to get vaccinated and you may not have that option, or, you know, for small children under the age of 5. So that's where there's a big concern across the public health world, where we're also seeing that, you know, trend in cases going upwards.
Yeah. I want to ask about the rise in case counts you mentioned at the beginning of the conversation. Do you expect this to continue going, and how much at risk are folks? I mean, is it still a relatively lower risk version of COVID, I guess, that we're seeing than maybe the Delta variant was?
Yeah, I think we will start to see this increase continuously. I'm hoping it's not as steep of a curve as what we saw with Omicron this winter. But that being said, as we are pulling back on all these public health restrictions, the natural response, and we've seen this throughout the entire pandemic in the US, is that we're going to see subsequent cases because people aren't masking. And this narrative of, you know, COVID being, oh, just another flu, is really inaccurate. For one, it is definitely more dangerous and deadly than influenza. And while we have amazing vaccines that help reduce severe disease and death, the truth is that if people don't stay up to date on boosters, we could very well see that change and start to see hospitalizations again. So my concern is that we've really shifted a narrative and a mindset to COVID in a way that could be very damaging if people don't stay up to date and don't, you know, use those public health interventions like masks when cases in their community increase. But another big piece that I'm very worried about, I know a lot of people are in public health, is that we're kind of starting to fly blind a little bit when it comes to COVID data. Hmm. A lot of tests or testing centers have pulled back. There's not as much, you know, push out in the community to get people tested. So That, in addition to a lot of people doing at-home antigen testing, which is a great, you know, form of surveillance, the problem is those tests don't get reported. So if I was to go pick one up today from my local pharmacy and I test positive, outside of me calling the public health department or having a notification process, that data just kind of goes into the abyss. So that 47% increase I mentioned is likely a really significant underreporting of what's happening in the community.
So the Biden administration had extended the mask mandate a couple of weeks in order to sort of reassess as we watch this latest surge of cases. Is there a world in which you think this, you know, will not be necessary anymore on places like planes, public transit, et cetera?
It's tough. You know, those small enclosed spaces where we're in for prolonged periods of time are going to be higher risk. We know that's where transmission occurs. So I think it's very possible that we'll approach this from a risk matched measure, meaning if the numbers are really high in the community, we have those mask requirements. But if they're really low, and we have high vaccination rates, then we may not need that. And then it falls on the person to make their own decision. So I think so much of it is really going to depend on what we start to see with potential vaccine rates slowing and community transmission rates. And if those are increasing, then I would say we do need masks.
All right. Dr. Saskia Popescu, infectious disease epidemiologist with the University of Arizona, joining us. Dr. Popescu, thank you so much for coming back on. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, and have a great day.